I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the reading. Now, I've worked out a system with David back there. We're going to see if it works. Because there are things that we really need to take a close look at in this scripture coming from John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 17. And it's a question of perception. And I think if we look at this, we'll see why it is that Nicodemus had such a hard time understanding Jesus. It's a matter of perception. So if you would, David, the first one, what do you see in that picture? Some of you may see a vase, a vase. But some of you may be seeing two people looking like they're about to kiss. It's a matter of perception. I don't know what you're seeing, and there's no way for you to explain what you're seeing. It's just your perception. Have you ever spoken to someone and tried to explain something to them and you just kept thinking to yourself, they don't get it. They don't get it. I'm trying to tell them, but they don't understand what I'm saying. And then we find out that they're looking at it from a different perspective. It's perception. You know the old saying, you look at a glass of water, half full or half empty. Depends on your perception. If you're a negative person, then it's probably going to be half empty. If you're positive, it's half full. Does it make a difference? It's your perception. Henry David Thoreau said, "It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see." Just as this picture we have. I think we all know we can look at the same thing at times and see something different. We do. Someone may look at a snake and say, "Oh my gosh, look at that snake. It's so beautiful. Look at all the colors." And someone else says, "Snake," and they run. Perception. One sees danger, one sees beauty. It's the way our world is. We know in our society, especially in today's world, some see a gun as a beautiful thing, a necessary thing. Others see it as an ugly, destructive thing, an unnecessary thing. Perception. We all have our perception. David, would you put the next one, please? Now, this is a good one. You can stare at this one for a long time. Some of you will see an old woman. Some of you will see a young woman with her head turned. Who sees an old woman? Anybody? How many see a young woman with her head turned? Perception. When Nicodemus went to Jesus in the night and spoke with Jesus, his perception was of the world. It's what I see. It's what I can touch. But Jesus didn't talk about the world. Jesus was talking about spiritual things. But see, Nicodemus, along with all the other Pharisees, had long since forgotten anything spiritual. They were still working on the physical. It's what we can read in the law. It's what we do when we make rules. That's what they saw. Jesus says, then you're not seeing God. He presents himself as a representative of all Pharisees. Did you catch that in the scripture reading? He says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs you do apart from the presence of God. Now, folks, there's another message in there. He not only presents himself as a representative, but he says the key word, without the presence of God. That's why he didn't see Jesus as God, as the Messiah, as the Christ, because he believed everything Jesus did was because God was present with him, but not in him. To which Jesus responds, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born of God or from above. Does that sound strange to you? Do you perceive this as in any way a proper response to what Nicodemus said? Think about it. Nicodemus says, well, we know that you must be present in the presence of God because look at what you can do. But Jesus' response says, no one can see the kingdom of God. What does that have to do with what he said? Once again, the perception that Nicodemus had is Jesus is sitting here trying to tell me about the world, the physical world. And Jesus says, I'm telling you about spiritual things. Whatever the case, Nicodemus buys into it and says, how can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Perception. Nicodemus is all about the physical world, what you can see and touch. That is where Jesus confronted the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. He says, you guys are looking at the world. God is not of the world. He is the God of the world. There's the story of three men who begin talking one day. I really ought to use some of our people out here. The first man, we'll say Jack, because Jack loves this. The first man said, when we got married, I told my wife, in no uncertain terms, from now on, she would have to do all the cooking. It's true. I knew that. That's why I passed. Well, the first day, Jack says, I saw nothing. The second day, I saw nothing. But on the third day, when I came home from work, the table was set, a wonderful dinner was prepared, and there was even dessert. Way to go, Jack. The second man, we'll call him Tim, looks at Donna and says, I set my wife down and told her, from now on, she would have to do all the shopping and also do all the cleaning. The first day I saw nothing. The second day I saw nothing. But on the third day when I came home, the whole house was spotless. And in the pantry, the shelves were filled with groceries. Well, then George sat straight up, pushed out his chest and said, I gave my wife a stern look and told her from now on she would have to do all the cooking, all the shopping, and all the cleaning. Well, the first day I saw nothing. The second day I saw nothing. But on the third day I could see a little bit out of my left eye. That's how life is sometimes. Our perception hits us right between the eyes. And we come crashing to reality. After Nicodemus' statement, Jesus' response brought reality crashing down on Nicodemus. And Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished. I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus says, "Bingo, I think I'm getting it." You see, the Spirit cannot be seen or touched. And Nicodemus realized that I'm just thinking of all the things I can see and touch. But this guy's going in a whole other direction. He's taking me on a journey that I'd never even thought about before, because, see, I could always pull up Scripture and read it. I could always have a discussion with my fellow Pharisees, and we'd all talk about what God wants according to Scripture. But you know what? Not one of us ever opened our hearts to hear what God had to say to us. David, next one, please. Somebody decide which one of those is longer. You see, the Spirit cannot be seen or touched. Therefore, Nicodemus was lost. But Jesus brings him into the spiritual world, a world Nicodemus was unfamiliar with because he was so used to having something in front of him. Now he's at a conversation, and it's not about what he knows. It's about a world he doesn't know. Had Nicodemus perceived the presence of the Spirit while speaking with Jesus, he would have understood what Jesus was telling him. But Nicodemus was not open to the Spirit, therefore he had no clue in the beginning of this discussion because he wasn't open to the Spirit. "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things?" How do you do that? If Jim Spears goes into a class and he's teaching a class on rocket science, but he doesn't really understand it, how is he going to teach? So you have this guy who is a leader of people in the Jewish faith, and he doesn't have a clue about the Spirit. Now, you may remember that we had Scripture just last Sunday and previous Sundays, but last Sunday, dry bones. We have those dry bones, right? And what happens? It's not like the Old Testament doesn't tell us. And the Spirit of God put flesh on those bones, and they lived. The Spirit. And Nicodemus goes, "Gosh, you know, Spirit? Never really looked at that one." Never really looked at that one. But those bones didn't stay dry, not when the Spirit entered. Where Nicodemus saw the law and the prophets in his heart and mind, Jesus saw the Spirit of God trying to break through to convey the gospel. To say, "I am who I am. I am not a God written in stone or on paper, but a living God whose Spirit dwells in you." And once you realize that I dwell in you, then you will live. In other words, Jesus says, change your perception of God, because He lives in you, and you can be born of God if you will just accept that reality. Our world, I believe, is in desperate need of being born of God. Reality seems to be lost to perceptions that are unhealthy, destructive. I served for 7 years in our country, Memorial Day weekend. And some of you served. And I've seen things I wish I had never seen. I experienced things I wish I had never experienced. There are movies that try to show the reality, the horror of war. Platoon, Full Metal Jacket, Apocalypse Now, and Saving Private Ryan are just a few of the attempts, but the truth be known. As pure as their motives may be, it's just not reality. Nothing can be, is, as awful as reality. Watching it on a screen doesn't cut it. I've seen good men ruined by the horror of war. We see them homeless out here. From Vietnam on up, I stood behind them in service. I've counseled them when they were in and out of service. And I can tell you there are lives ruined by the reality of war. Likewise, when it comes to God, no law or Old Testament prophet can convey what God, God's self, can convey. The reality of God is more powerful, more personal than any perception written or spoken by human beings. We open our hearts and minds to God. God can bring a reality that no writing will ever bring to us. It's the one who says, experience God. Don't perceive, experience. If we do not perceive the works of God here on earth, if we do not acknowledge God's work in our world and in our lives, how can we ever believe in spiritual things that Jesus tells us about? Remember these words from Jesus. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? If you don't believe when you walk out this door that God had God's hand in making this world, that God brought life to us, to children, if you don't believe that God can do those physical things, how will you ever believe the spiritual? Likewise, if Nicodemus had no perception of God's Spirit in the world and in his own life, how would he ever believe who Jesus is and by what power and authority Jesus operated under? If Nicodemus didn't work from the perception that God is in our hearts and minds and God works within us, how could he ever believe that Jesus was and is who Jesus says? When Lawrence of Arabia was in Paris with some of his Arab friends after World War I, he took them to see the sights of the city. They showed little interest in the Louvre, the Arc of Triumph, or Napoleon's tomb. The thing that really interested them was the faucet in their bathtub. They spent much time turning it on and off, and they thought that it was wonderful. All they had to do was turn the handle, and they could get all the water they wanted. When they were leaving Paris, Lawrence found them in the bathroom with wrenches, trying to get the faucet off so they could take it with them. You see, they said, it is very dry in Arabia. What we need are faucets. If we have them, we will have all the water we want. Lawrence had to explain to them the effectiveness of the faucet depended on the water system to which it was attached. And so it is with our friend Nicodemus. Jesus says the effectiveness of your laws, rules, regulations, and scripture depend on the Spirit to which they are attached, the Spirit of God. To perceive them as the living Word of God is simply that, perception. God is reality. Aldous Huxley said, there are things known and there are things unknown, and in between are the doors of perception. And then, what is behind your eyes holds more power than what is in front of them. David, if you'd go to the next one, please. What do you see? Two elderly people? Or can you see the mariachis playing the guitar? Perception. Your perception of me is a reflection of you. That also came from Huxley. What Nicodemus saw in Jesus was a reflection of his own limitations. He's looking at Jesus and he's saying, how can it be? How can it be? Because the limitation was in him, not in Jesus. There were no limitations in Jesus. But oftentimes we perceive what we want to perceive. And you've also heard the old saying, perception is reality. And why do we say that? Because if that's the way you see it, chances are that's the way you're going to always see it. And Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm here for you. I'm telling you God is a living God, not a God of stone, not a God of paper. So Jesus says, let us be born of God. Let us receive the Holy Spirit. Perception. Do you perceive God as being a reality in your life? Or just something you read about in a book? It's up to you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you, oftentimes we do just see what we see in the Bible, but we don't feel. And we know you're moving within our hearts and minds, and Lord, help us to feel you there, to understand that you're working in our lives every day, that you bring healing and love, comfort, compassion, all the wonderful things of this world that we can't see, but we know you have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.